We've all been seeing the ads for the Wall Sisters while we were glued to the traitors, and now this the series has finally landed. Stephanie Prisoner, who's the writer of the TV adaptation based on the beloved novels by Marion Keyes, welcome to I Recommend. For anyone new to the world of the Wall Sisters, can you give us an introduction to what the show's about?
So since the 90s, Marion Keyes has been writing books about this family called the Walshes. There's five sisters and a mum and dad, and they've been like super bestsellers, like 36 million copies sold, Watermelon, Rachel's Holiday, Anybody Out There, Angels, The Mystery of Mercy Close, and then more recently, again, Rachel and My Favourite Mistake. So in 2018, I was hired to write the adaptation of four of those books for a series called The Walsh Sisters, and I've been working on it ever since, and it's been my greatest joy, the thing I have enjoyed most. I hope I get to do another season. I just want to work with these people all day, every day. I don't want to move on to anything else. It's been incredible, and now it's on our screens. I never thought I'd see the day.
It's been a labour of love if you've been working on it since 2018, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, like 7 years. It's been a labour of love, but it's been like even longer for Marion, because these books have been optioned again and again and never made it to screen. And so she's also super excited that it's finally here. She keeps asking me for links to send to her friends in this country and that country, because we've sold to Australia, New Zealand, some international countries, but not all of them yet. So yeah, it's just so exciting for her that like finally she's had the opportunity to have these amazing books on screen. And I mean, I feel sometimes a little bit like I'm riding on her coattails, because the shows are the books are so beloved, but I feel really honoured to have been allowed to be the one to adapt them.
I think that in fairness, you're probably being a little bit modest in all of that, because like adapting characters, especially characters that are so beloved, from page to the screen, I can't imagine how tricky of a process that is, and you've done it exceptionally well. What were the biggest challenges that you faced, though, in bringing the Wall Sisters and their entire world to life?
I guess the biggest challenge is that Marion creates such a beautiful three-dimensional world in her books where, let's say, take Rachel's Holiday, for example, you get this incredible sense of the things that Rachel says out loud, the things she says in her head, and the things that she does. And those three things are often in conflict with each other. And that makes us really love Rachel, really feel for her, and know that she's not the person that some people think she is, even though she does like really difficult things. And I don't like television shows with voiceovers. I feel like it's a lazy way of explaining things. And so I had to find a way, like, how do I express this girl's inner voice, her inner feelings, her inner demons? How do I get a viewer to see that without a voiceover? And so that means I had to sometimes change scenes or put in scenes that weren't in the books to give us a sense of the character, so that we could learn to love her, learn to understand her insecurities in a way that was done differently in the books, because she was the narrator and we could see what's going on in her head.
Is that all about striking a balance, kind of staying faithful to what Marion Keyes had written in the original stories with her, and then, you know, injecting your own voice and surprises into the show in your own way to accurately convey the characters?
Well, no, not really. Like, so for example, there's a sex scene where Rachel's having sex, let's say. Okay, this isn't in the TV show, so it's not a spoiler. So it's the example I'm going to give. And she's having sex with this guy, but you get this whole inner sense of how she's experiencing it. She's like, oh my God, please end. Please, can this not be happening? I don't know. It's not unconsensual. She's just not enjoying it. That means like in the scripts, I either have to direct the actress to be like rolling her eyes and that kind of thing. But it gives us a sense in that scene in the book that like we know that Rachel has done this because she is so insecure about herself that just having sex with this man would make her feel like she was wanted, like she was valued. Do you know what I mean? Because that's explicitly said in the books. Whereas in order to convey that Rachel has a please love me disease where she needs to be liked by people, I have to create other scenarios to convey that in the TV series. So it's not really about striking a balance. It's about looking at the things that work in the book, looking at the things that make us love the characters. First of all, choosing the characters over anything else in the books. So I could have been like, oh my God, I love how New York is rendered in this book, and I want to write a love story to New York. And that could have been the thing that that I prioritise, but I don't care where the books are set. I care about the Walsh sisters and their relationships and how they relate to each other. So when they are on screen together, I feel like that those are the best moments of the show.
How did you approach the casting process in all of that? Because their chemistry is amazing between them all.
Yeah, I had seen Caroline years ago, like years and years ago in a student film. And I had kind of thought, oh God, she's a bit young to play Rachel because it was so long ago. And then when we came to casting it, I said to the director and the casting director, I want to see this girl. I think she's Rachel. And the director was like, all right, Stephanie, I'll be the judge of that. Like, I'm the director. You can't cast the show. And I was like, I'm not trying to cast the show. I just want to have her in the room. I think that she'd be very interesting. I'd like to see what she does in an audition. So we auditioned her and lots of other people. But in the room when she was auditioning, the director looked over at me and I was like sat there smug on my high horse. And he was like, he just kind of looked at me and was like, wow. And I said, yeah, I know. And then the next person that we cast was Anna. And Anna's a really difficult character for an actor because what she's dealing with is so intense. So you really need an actress that can, that prioritizes like truthfulness, that can find the heart in a story, but not be one note, you know, like not just like poor me. So we saw Louisa Harland. She was incredible. But the next biggest important thing was that Louisa and Caroline together had chemistry. So we did a chemistry test with both of them. And I was so nervous that day. I flew to London to do that chemistry test. And I remember sitting on the flight as we landed and turning to the director and saying, like, what if it doesn't work? Like, what if there's no chemistry? And he was like, you can't think like that. We have to just, we'll figure it out. I was like, but what if there's no chemistry? Like, which one are we going to keep and which one are we going to ditch? And he was like, we're not going to think like that. It's going to be fine. So, and he was right. It was more than fine. It was electric. That same weekend we saw, or that same week we saw Mairead for Helen. And she was just laugh a minute. And like when a writer is able to laugh at their own script, you know that the actor is doing it well. And then Claire was much trickier to cast because I don't know if it was the audition sides that were going out or the description, but a lot of the auditions we were getting were like a very ditzy kind of girl who just didn't seem very believable or grounded, and she seemed more like a caricature of herself. So we kept coming up against that in the auditions, and then we saw Danny's audition and I was like, oh my God, I totally believe it. She's really grounded it. She's a real character. And in that audition, I had read Claire's audition scene was a scene between Claire and Maggie, and I had read Maggie opposite all of the Claires to try and cast Claire. And the casting director said to me, you read Maggie like really, really beautifully. Like, would you consider auditioning? And I was like, no. Like, I don't have the time. And also, you know, I hadn't planned on that. And then I sat with it for a while and I thought, yeah, okay, like I'll give it a go. And I did the audition and that's how I ended up becoming Maggie.
It's funny, kind of your famous last words, you know, oh no, I don't think I would do that. And then lo and behold, you are playing Maggie in the show.
Yeah, it's mad. It's not something that I ever planned on, but it just feels really right now that we're, you know, now that we're all together and when we hang out, it does feel like I am the Mammy Maggie of the group character as well.
How did you juggle the demands of the writing and the acting in the same production? Like, that must have been some juggle.
Yeah, but so I'm also on the executive producing team. So I'm an executive producer on the show, and the lead producer, Dixie, the director, like, we just had a really, really solid team where we were communicating. The scripts were pretty much good to go. Like, I wasn't doing an awful lot of writing on set. There was a few times where, you know, the team would come to me and say, look, we can't get this location. For example, we wanted to shoot one scene in a tent and they were like, look, we can't find a tent. It's going to look really terrible. It's not going to give us the look that we want for the show. Can we relook at this scene and put it in another location? And we were filming in Terenure at the time and Bushy Park was there. And I just said, okay, let's set it in Bushy Park. See if you can get permission to film there and I'll write that scene. So that was a day where I was like playing Maggie and then on my lunch break, sitting with my laptop and rewriting the scene for the next day's filming. So that was kind of hectic, but really, like, I work quite well under pressure. I had a lot of support at home. So my kids were being minded very well by my husband, my mother, my sister-in-law. And you just kind of go, it's a very intense few weeks, but yeah, I loved it. I thrive under that kind of pressure.
Now that it's out in the world and you can see how other people are receiving it and enjoying it, it must be such a pinch me moment for you. But is there anything, like, in hindsight that you'd go back and change or do differently in the adaptation process, or are you fairly confident that you've hit the nail on the head?
Like, there's always things where you think, oh, I'd love to have changed that a little bit, slightly. Like, there's things now that when I think about season two, because I'm manifesting, I would like to have kind of set down a few little Easter egg, like, breadcrumbs to lead to stories in season two. And I have done that a bit, but there are other ones now that I'm writing season two that I'm like, oh, it would be cool to have set that out in that scene. Apart from that, I'm not really sure. Like, I feel really, like, I don't usually watch the work that I make. By the time it comes out, I'm usually so tired of it. I could watch this all day, every day. It's the greatest pleasure of my life. I think it's really very strong, and each episode only gets better. There's a scene in episode 6 with all of us sitting around a table, and I think it's my favourite piece of television that I've ever even seen. So I'm just so proud of it, and there's really not much I would change. I mean, a few things here and there. I wish we had gotten a different take of this, but I'm just so happy with it.
I think artists are always going to be a little bit critical on themselves in that regard. But I don't know. I feel like I speak for most of Ireland when I say you do not need to change a single thing about it. It is amazing. And I think that, like, your passion for it and all of the actors' passion for these characters, it really does shine through. It's so convincing. You feel like you're with them when you're watching it. But look, you know, you kind of mentioned season two there. Do we have any idea about a season two then? Or what is the story?
That's like one of those where, you know, capitalism and schedules, like, it's going to be on BBC next year, and BBC are a financier, so they finance some of it. So they have to come on board, and then it's a question of, do they come on board before they've even broadcasted in the UK? All of those discussions are ongoing, but it's certainly our intention. It's just nothing has been confirmed as of yet.
Ideas and plans, though, seem to be, well, the ball is rolling for them for sure.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you that it's in development, but it's not in production, if you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. I am working on it, but I have worked on lots of television shows that have never been made. So that doesn't guarantee that you're going to see it, even though I am writing it at the moment.
Well, I will keep my own fingers crossed on that, because I manifested for you, because it is a brilliant, it's a brilliant TV series, in fairness. And, you know, since The Wall Sisters is based on such well-loved books, are there any other novels or series that you'd like to adapt for TV yourself?
Oh, that's interesting. I am a huge fan of an author called Friedrich Bachmann. He has written, actually, one of his books was made into a film. The book is called A Man Called Ov, and the film was called A Man Called Otto. And I love his work. I think I'd like to adapt his work. Also, I like crime stuff. I love Liz Nugent's book. I'd love to work on one of those. But you get kind of put into a box, you know? So people think, oh, Stephanie's really good at writing, you know, like, family dramas, female focused stuff. And so if I decided, oh, I'd love to write a crime drama, people would be like, oh, but that's not what you do. So it can be hard to kind of pivot from the genre that you're used to. But yeah, maybe someday.
I think the sky's the limit for you, in my own humble opinion. And I really hope that you get to write whatever you want while you're in this industry. But we always like to ask people when they're on, I recommend, like, is there anything that you're binge watching, reading, or listening to at the minute that you'd want to recommend to our audience?
Well, I'm listening to Taylor Swift's album, trying to formulate my opinion on her new album that dropped.
What? Any ideas on an opinion for that?
Yeah, like, I think I'm a millennial, right? So I was born in 1987. And I think I'm just old enough now that all songs sound like old songs. So whenever I hear this new album, I'm like, well, that sounds like a Wheatus song, and that sounds like a Jonas Brothers song, and that sounds like a George Michael song, and that sounds like a Jackson 5 song. So I literally have, like, a different song for every one of the things on the album where I'm like, this is what this sounds like to me. But I really like Father Figure on her album. I like Eldest Daughter. And Wishlist, I think, is also really lovely. So that's what I'm listening to. And then what am I watching? I mean, Traitors, Celebrity Traitors starts on the UK tonight. And I just can't wait to see Stephen Fry. And I really hope that he's a traitor. So I'm big into reality TV. So Traitors is my fave. And then reading, what am I reading at the moment? I'm reading Friedrich Backman's new book, which just came out in softback. And I'm reading My Sister, the Serial Killer, which I think is an incredible book. I think it was published last year, but it's about a girl who is a serial killer, and her sister knows that she's a serial killer and like frequently helps her to clean up her mess. And then one day she falls in love with the guy, the good sister, and the bad sister kind of takes a fancy to him too. And she knows that her sister is going to try and kill her boyfriend. And it's so bizarre and so good. And I'm really enjoying it.
I actually heard good reviews about that at the time, and I've seen it in bookshops. So thank you. I feel like that was a recommendation more for me and my book list than the audience.
Yeah, it's really nice. And it's a short book. It's like, you'll read in a few days. I haven't been reading very much because when I'm writing, I'm too easily influenced, and so I kind of lock myself away. I haven't read Marion Key's most recent two books because I'm too afraid. So I kind of go on I just kind of doom scroll and go on TikTok and watch people cutting up soap as my entertainment. But I'm looking forward to getting back into reading.
That has to be the realest thing that I've ever heard anybody say. Stephanie, thank you so much for hopping on Radio Screen Chat this evening. And I wish you the very best of luck with hopefully getting season two off the ground. But regardless, I wish you every success with season one. And if people are looking to follow you on social media and keep up to date with what you're up to, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Stephanie Preisner, and that's really it. My husband says I should get a LinkedIn, but I have absolutely no intention of doing so.
Fair enough. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thank you so much.